Welcome, Tourism and TikTok, how city marketing is using the fastest growing social app to reach Gen Z audiences. That's our topic today. And TikTok, of course, was the most downloaded app in 2020. Today, it has over 1 billion users worldwide. And what started as a lip syncing and dancing app has now grown into, you could say, a serious platform for information, debate and discussion. And especially for the one target group everyone, both media houses and companies worldwide want to reach, young people known as Gen Z. And according to the Reuters Digital News report, TikTok reaches 40% of 18 to 20-year-olds, and 15 of them use the app to get their news. Tourism plays a big part on the platform as well, but the most successful travel accounts still belong to individual content creators, what we used to call influencers over at Instagram. So how can the travel industry use TikTok to promote destinations and travel products? That's what we are talking about today with two people who can tell you exactly how to do it and what the benefits are, because they're already doing it. We are talking to the people behind two German TikTok tourism accounts, Visit Bremen and Köln Tourismus, so Cologne Tourism. And our first guest today is Claudia Neumann, from the city famous for the largest Gothic church in Northern Europe, Cologne, of course. Please introduce yourself.
Yes, hello. Thank you, Johanna. Thank you, ITB, for having us today. Yeah, my name is Claudia. I'm the spokesperson and head of corporate communications of Cologne Tourist Board, or Visit Köln, as we say. I am responsible for the internal and external communication, and thus for the social accounts, the social media channels, which actually moved to my team only with the beginning of this year, all together with my colleague Max, who is one of the faces of our TikTok account. And so my familiarity with TikTok explicitly in a business context is quite new, although I followed the process from the beginning. Yeah.
And our second guest, Laura Pieper, from the city in Northern Germany that's famous for town musicians from a German fairy tale, Bremen, of course. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, and thank you. I'm Laura Pieper, and I've been working 3.5 years for the business development in Bremen. And mostly during my working hours, I'm dealing with topics around the participatory city marketing, and social media is one big thing about my daily work. And now, after a bit over a year now, TikTok is a big, big part of it, private and, of course, at work.
Great. And just a little something about myself. I'm Johanna Rüdiger. I'm head of social media strategy at the culture and documentaries department at Deutsche Welle, Germany's international broadcaster. And Deutsche Welle, of course, reaches people around the world in over 30 languages on TV, but on all digital platforms as well. And in 2022, I started Deutsche Welle's first TikTok account called Berlin Fresh. And I'm also a TikTok content creator myself on my personal channel, where I mostly do news in English, but also a little bit of fun Berlin stuff, as I call it. And which brings me to my first question, because when I started on TikTok, or when our company started on TikTok, I remember journalists had a big discussion about can we even be on TikTok? How can we be as journalists on TikTok? Can we even do good journalism in such a short videos, 15 to 30 seconds? And it was just a huge debate. And now, 2 years later, it's completely different. Every media company wants to be on TikTok. It's not a question on do we need to be there. It's a question on how do we need to be there. And so I was wondering if it's the same for you. You started over a year uploading your first TikToks. Did you have a big discussion about how and if you could do it? And do you feel like now it's more normal?
I guess there wasn't a big discussion in the beginning. It was really the question, like, how can we put our city in that social media platform? And then we try to figure out how can we present the topics that we normally present on other social platforms, put in this specific kind of entertainment platform. And we are always really open-minded when it comes up to new media formats. And so we said, okay, let's try it. And we started with private accounts and had a look around, like, how is the platform working? How is the language? How are the trends and the people who are commenting there? So we get a kind of a feeling of how can we present Bremen in there. And a nice side effect, now we're all TikTok addicted. We are really big fans of Instagram at first, but now we're all really TikTok addicted. But the doing was really, really unfamiliar in the beginning, and it needed some time to get in there and get to know the structure and the language. So it was kind of a short process with a lot of learning in it.
So I'm hearing a lot of emphasis on trying to learn the language of the platform first before you even start. Was it the same for you in Cologne, Claudia? Mm.
Well, it really wasn't a big discussion, because it was a strategic decision, because it is part of our forced digitalization strategy in the communication. And it also was a conclusion of a target group process that we went through and recognized that we want to address among other groups more the expeditive target group. And to reach out for them, we have to present, or we have to be present on the platforms where they are, such as TikTok. And then Cologne is a stronghold for active TikTokers and influencers. So it was obvious that it would be a good match between Cologne and TikTok, because it's a dynamic and creative playground here. And the topics to fill it out are in the open here in Cologne. So this was, all these topics were part for our decision to start.
So it sounds like for both of you, it was a pretty easy decision that you decided, okay, this is where our audience is, we need to be there. And the interesting thing about the TikTok algorithm, I think, is that it's not status-based like Instagram, but it's content-based, meaning on Instagram, bigger accounts get favored. And while on TikTok, anybody can go viral, which is the great thing still about TikTok, which means if you make a good video or you have a good idea, that even starting out very early on, yes, you can go viral, no matter how many followers. And looking through your content, I feel like this happened to you, to both of your accounts in the beginning as well, that you pretty quickly went viral a little bit. Tell us about that.
Definitely. There was this one video in like August last year, and it was about the botanical garden here in Bremen. And we didn't expect that it would get a viral trend, but we had like 2,000 followers at that point, and the video got like 56,000 views, and we were like, what happened over there? Like, it was really exciting for us to make this experience, because as you already said, this is not normal for us on other platforms. So there is no secret formula for a viral video, I guess, but
it has to be relevant for
the people. Yes, and they have to be entertained or even surprised. And I guess this kind of place here in Bremen was really surprising for all of the users, so it went viral even if we had like so less followers. So it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, the same with us. Our best performing video ever, or until now, is where we explain the concrete car, which is a not very beautiful piece of art in public space in the city of Cologne. And it has had 950,000 views and cost a doubling of followers at that time, which is until today surprising for us. Yeah, sometimes you can't explain.
Funny thing, I saw that video on my For You page, and I've been to Cologne last May, and I saw the car and I was like, oh, I saw that on TikTok. So I was really surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once that's the beauty of the For You page. Once something goes viral, people who don't even follow you get to see the video, and that's how you quickly climb in views. Of course, the downside of that is that every video you have to try really hard again, because there is no guaranteed views. You can have many followers and still get low views if the video doesn't add any value for your users. And to just briefly mention the size of your accounts, Bremen has almost 24,000 followers and almost 500,000 likes. In Cologne, over 17,000 followers and over 200,000 likes. Are you guys satisfied with that? Is that a success for you?
Well, I can start. Well, yeah, it's a success. We are satisfied and we are confident, but of course you still want you want to grow and get more followers and be more successful. But what it needs, and I think we'll come to that, is a lot of time and a lot of resources, people. And well, yes, we work together with an agency, that's no secret. But our goal is that we build up expertise ourselves and take over more and more. We are doing this at the moment, and during the next months, our team will grow. And so this is a good perspective for growing the channel.
And how is it for you in Bremen?
We are really happy about it. And to be honest, we didn't expect that at the beginning. And when we compare TikTok to like our growth on Instagram or Facebook, you can't even compare that. It's like the fastest growing platform we use, and we have on Instagram like 30,000 followers, and we needed years for that. I don't know exactly how long we have these Instagram accounts, but definitely not 1 year. So we are really surprised that the TikTok channel got a lot of views and followers in such a short period. And it's a really, really good chance for us to rethink our content, our topics, and how we work, because it was really difficult for us in the beginning to produce this kind of short videos in about like 30 seconds. So yeah, it's a good way to rethink our content.
I was just going to say, if anybody's listening and now thinks, oh, this sounds really easy, you just make a video, boom, you go viral. That's not the case at all, right? I mean, I would say compared to other platforms, TikTok is much harder, because you can't just recycle any video clips. You really have to understand the language of the platform, and you have to keep up with trends, and your storytelling really has to be on point, because it's not like on Instagram. It's all about nice wow clips, and you don't really need much storytelling sometimes. But on TikTok, that's not the case at all. And so I think the biggest reason companies hesitate to do TikTok is because it is a lot of work, meaning a lot of money. And you can't really just recycle, like Claudia mentioned, in Cologne. You have to build up a creator, which is a lot of work and something we might not be used to. And TikTok, and then you have TikTok experts who tell you that you have to post 3 times a day so your account grows, which even for most media companies is not possible. So if you have any advice, like how did you manage, how much time, money, people did you invest, and how did you overcome these challenges?
A lot.
Really, a lot in Bremen, a lot of money.
Yes. So in the beginning, we really tried to publish like 5 videos a week. And this was absolutely not possible to do that over a long time. So we said, okay, this is definitely not the way we can do that over years now. So we decided to publish up to 3 videos per week. And I guess this is kind of a good strategy for us. And we are a team out of 5 people who are the creative heads behind the channel. And we have all the ideas up there. And sometimes we use the ideas we get from our community. And we get a lot of help from our students who work here as well. They give us some input and ideas as well. So we do that. And yes, it's really a fulfilling a week fulfilled with work if you do a TikTok channel, to be honest, but it's definitely worth it when it comes to the growth and the people you can reach over there.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's 15 or 30 seconds. Your storytelling really has to be on point. You do have to have that pump stopper moment, because if the user doesn't realize in 2 seconds what the video is about and if it's useful for them, they're going to scroll past it. So yeah, that makes it quite difficult and challenging on TikTok. How did you manage that in Cologne? You told us about your building up a creator. And how did you decide on that?
Yeah, well, the frequency of postings is quite similar to Bremen, because we found out that our account performs well with posting 3 videos a week. And we had a time when we posted less, but saw that the channel didn't perform well. And so now we got back to 3 TikToks a week and everything is fine. But actually, it's one person in the social media corporate communications team who's taking care of the channel, which is not much. But he is working together with support of the agency. And yeah, he will get another colleague during the summer so we can be perhaps a bit more active on the channels.
And can you a little bit describe maybe the editorial steps from you have an idea, you want to do something quickly? Maybe I saw one of you guys did there's a heat wave in Germany and you went out and showed places to cool down, which of course has to maybe done quickly. And so do you have a script before you go out? Do you just go out and shoot? How does it work? Do you have storyboards? Maybe how does it work for you guys? Do you always work with voiceover? Looking at your accounts, it seems like the more information and the more voiceover you guys have, the better the videos work.
We work a lot with voiceover, and yes, we use it when it comes to a lot of information and we need to get some information in the video, which is not possible to do that with some words in it, so the message behind it gets more clear and it's more personal. If when they hear my voice talking like, oh, there is something new at the marketplace in Bremen, and then they know it's not the company who says that, so it's a person, it's me, Laura, who says, hey, there is something new. So we use that quite often. And when it comes to producing a video, either we have our own ideas over here and it depends if the weather is good or bad, and normally in Bremen it's always bad. Mm-hmm. So the kind of summer content, it's not always on our channel, so it's a rarity sometimes. Or we use the ideas out of the TikTok community, and then we write down a shot list. So what do we need to fulfill or to finish this video? We need a beginning, we need the atmosphere around it, we need an ending. Maybe we need some transitions. So we write down, we need to put our hand on the lens and put it back on the next scene, for example. And we write that on a paper step by step, and then we go out and film it. And sometimes we are really fast doing it and it only takes us half an hour. Sometimes it takes us a bit longer, maybe an hour or 1.5. It depends on the place where we are. And afterwards we cut that on our smartphones and do the voiceover with the smartphone and uploaded it. And we have this claim, better authentic than perfect, and that's what we try to do on our channel. So it's okay that it's not perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's what TikTok is all about. While on Instagram, everybody's life looks perfect or much better than it is normally, on TikTok, the users really smell it if it's not authentic, and they just want it to be very, very authentic. And that sometimes then it's not perfect, but that's fine. Yeah. Is it the same for you in Cologne?
That's really important for us. Exactly, to not be perfect. This is not what the community wants to see. We also work out storyboards beforehand, and we work with timetables and editorial schedules. and we go out, when we go out and shoot, we try to shoot as much as possible. So we do like shooting days and work out several TikToks, of course, for one day and post them in the timetable later.
Same. Mm. It's not possible to do one shoot a day.
It's not efficient, so it's... and not possible, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what journalists are doing as well, both at Deutsche Welle or I myself. My personal account, I do it in my free time. Mm. Obviously, I try to go out at night, but mostly I do stuff on the weekends and like batch producing, even though it might look like it's breaking news. It's most of the time, it's me even shooting stuff with two different endings and then using that one that's accurate, because otherwise it wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
And let's talk a little bit about target groups, because both of your accounts are in German. And normally I would think, well, we're talking tourism. We want to attract people from outside Germany. How did you decide to make your accounts German? Are you trying to attract people in Germany or people who speak German? And also some of your topics are quite local. We talked about the concrete car in the street. That's something people in Cologne maybe see and know. So how did you decide, who's your target group, and how did you decide on the language for the account?
Well, we started with TikTok, or with a concept for TikTok, when traveling was not possible because of COVID. And we wanted to address people during the lockdowns and to transfer the Cologne feeling into their homes. And after this, since traveling is possible again, we still mainly address German potential visitors, because long distance travel is not safe at the moment, or is coming back step by step. And we have a lot of day trips and visitors from neighboring countries. But we still stick to the German language, and we built up a quite nice German community, and we will stick to this for the next time.
We made somehow a different experience, to be honest. We really started with English content on TikTok because we followed the idea of reaching potential tourists all over the world, so they would come to Bremen. Maybe a bit utopic, but we learned quite early that the algorithm is kind of location based, so there was not the possibility at all to reach people outside of Germany. So the comments were in German, and there was literally everything in German. So there was no discussion about it. Why should we keep that in English when we only reach German people? So we switched that, and afterwards we made the experience that our content worked way lot better than before, and the algorithm is better in playing it to the right people, so he knows what to do. So, okay, it's German content, let's put it to German people. So it worked really better. All our videos got a lot more views, and we noticed a recurring community in our comment section, because they know, okay, it's a German account. And in the first place, we tried to address German young people around Bremen and in Bremen. And on the second level, we try to reach out to tourists all over Germany, so they know there is Bremen, maybe we should come and visit it one day. And even if it's not today, they notice the city and keep that in mind for later.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point about the algorithm you just made, that it's location-based. And actually, if you make an account in Germany and you want to reach people that are not in Germany in a different language, it's very hard to do unless you go viral really hard. Then we see, when I look at my analytics or from our work accounts, we see once a video goes viral, then yes, it gets shown in other countries. But first, it will be shown in your city, in your country. And then if you're doing stuff in English, then Germans might be turned off by that, which makes it harder for you to go viral. And so I think it's quite clever of you to do it in German, because you also see that the market is very saturated for English TikTok. And we even see, like, in with journalistic accounts, that someone starts out in English and then switches to Spanish, for example, and suddenly the account goes viral and grows like a lot, because the market is not saturated yet. So I think you guys made a really clever choice for getting a bigger reach with that.
When it comes to huge advertising campaigns, when it goes to other countries like the Netherlands or Denmark, then we produce content especially in English so we can promote it over there. But because it works better if they see some English videos than for huge campaigns, but it's really easier even for us to produce it in German, to think videos in a German language.
And we talked a little bit about how different Instagram and TikTok are, and that you do have to be authentic on TikTok. And now travel content most of the time on Instagram is not that authentic. It's more about a beautiful location and people looking beautiful. And what do you think about travel content on TikTok? How can you be successful with travel content? And why do we still have not that many tourism companies or destinations on TikTok? I feel like the biggest accounts are really these travel influencers, we would say, on Instagram, or travel content creators and big airlines, but that's pretty much it. Why are you the only guys on there, basically? No, there are some more, but it's quite small. Or do you have any tourism accounts that inspire you? All I'm seeing is big airlines doing funny videos.
We got a lot inspired by Mitvergnügen Hamburg. It's about the city Hamburg. And we get an idea of how we could present them as well. So they're also bigger than us, but it's a company behind it.
A journalistic, journalistic background,
yes,
right?
It's a bit different compared to our situation, but I think that big influencers or airlines, that they can address a much broader mass of people. Their topics are more huge. Mm. They can address more people with it. When it comes to our channel, I only see it's a small city and we have a lot of topics over here, but it's more niche, and they have, our videos have to find their users and not the other way around, because it's like the small topic and really specific. And I guess the airlines have a much more broader mass and topics that they could spread on their channel.
And do you think it helps when you make it more relevant for the everyday life of every user? Like, I noticed you did a video about three things to do in Bremen, or three things that don't cost anything, or something like that. And that didn't go as viral, but then you used the topic everyone is talking about, the 9 euro ticket, where you can basically travel on the train for free if you buy a 9 euro monthly flat rate. And suddenly it became relevant for so much more people, and that video then went viral. Do you think if you try to connect your topics more to trending topics people are talking about, you would be even more successful? Or
yeah,
yes, but they have to be always a trending topic.
Yeah.
So it's not always given over here. So maybe the topics that are relevant over here are only relevant for a smaller target group. And we don't only want to do like these viral topics, and also want to give the people who are living here some ideas of what is just around their corner, and or the people who are already here, that they get an idea what's there is like a huge concert or a huge festival around the corner, and we would like to show this side of Bremen as well. So we try to do both of it.
Yeah, the same with us. I think we do a good mix of it, but we also experienced that trend-based TikToks helped us to grow more, of course. but we also give, we like to make TikToks with gastronomy tips and with tips about things to do in the city. But it's true, trend-based TikToks are helping more. Yeah.
And we already talked a little bit about your community and that you do hear a lot from users. Tell me about some of the feedback you have gotten, because I feel like the TikTok community is very vocal and very loyal and tight-knit. And I do have like a lot of followers who come up to me on the streets in Berlin and just talk to me and tell me exactly what they want me to do, do more of this. And so does that happen to you guys? And that people actually come up to you and say, maybe I travel to Bremen or Cologne because of you?
Well, my colleague Max sometimes gives his face for the account, but I haven't heard that people came to him in the streets, but perhaps this will happen in the future. But it is right that we have higher engagement than with other channels, and the community likes to post a lot and to comment a lot and gives honest feedback to the TikToks, also when they see things different. So we have a quite good communication with them. We once did a mistake. We did an explanation TikTok with a wrong date in it. And the community reacted very quickly and told us about the wrong number. And we reacted very quickly with a sorry TikTok and brought in some self-irony and levity. And in my opinion, this was a good example for being authentic and not perfect with TikTok.
We made kind of the same experience, but it's really hard to measure this success to say, oh, I saw your TikTok, now I'm in Bremen. Mm-hmm. But it's always kind of hard to measure this kind of on social media, how affected its users and viewers. But I've made the experience, I met a lot of people on the street. They noticed me because of my red hair and my nose piercing, and they're like, oh, you're the girl from TikTok, right? From TikTok Bremen. And I'm like, yeah. And oh, you make such a cool content. And I'm always kind of, it's always kind of awkward because I'm not feeling like kind of fame, but and
now
I didn't make
this,
and I didn't make this experience on other platforms. But they're really nice, they're really open-minded, and they're really constructive. Like when they say, oh, this is wrong, or oh, I didn't like that, or maybe you should show something else, or it's really different when you compare it to like Twitter or Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I think it's maybe also the age and the target group, that it's not that they're not like trying to find your failures, and they're more open-minded when it comes to new topics.
Yeah, it's more constructive criticism, isn't it?
Yeah,
definitely.
So what makes it all worth it for you? The Washington Post, the newspaper, was famously one of the first media houses on TikTok, and 5 years ago or something like that. And they said, and everybody was like a bit skeptical, like, what do you get out of it? And they actually said that they got messages from young people saying, I didn't know what the Washington Post was. I didn't know it was a newspaper. But then I saw your TikToks and found out about you guys. And not only do I watch your TikToks and follow you on TikTok, I went out and I bought a paper newspaper. And now I have a subscription to the paper edition. So, of course, that's like a giant crossover on a different platform altogether. Which makes it worth it for them. But how is it for you guys? Is it more an image thing? Are people really coming here because of that? What makes it worth it for you guys?
Well, you can't measure this. If someday somebody comes to us and tells us that he came over from the US because of our TikTok account, this would be great. But at the moment, our objective is to open up new target groups besides the expeditive ones, and to strengthen the existing potential that Cologne offers through the citywide TikTok community.
And you, Laura, do you feel Bremen is now more famous than before?
I hope so. we want to be on the people's mind, like when they think about what would be my next travel destination. So, and then maybe if they travel in like 5 years or something, when they're the generation is much older, and then they remind of, oh, hey, there was Cologne or there was Bremen on TikTok, and I was in contact with them and they answered my comments. And I guess it's a good impact on the viewers and also good for the image of a city. And it's definitely a good platform to grow completely organically without to put some money within it. And I guess on no other platform it's possible to grow like this anymore.
And I noticed you do have quite a sense of humor on TikTok, and you even managed to persuade your mayor to do a little TikTok for you. Tell us about that.
Yes, it was an idea that we have cried for a long time now. And we waited nearly 1 year, so this was relevant enough to do these videos. And the major is, of course, really, really busy. And then we decided he could answer some of our hate comments. Someone says...
That's already really brave to ask someone who hasn't been on TikTok maybe to answer hate comments.
Yes, and he was really funny and open-minded when it comes to answering those questions. He was really open for this new kind of answer, community management. And it was really spontaneous. We gave him like the comment, it says, the best part about Brim is the exit.
The exit sign of the town.
Yes, the exit sign.
Meaning you're leaving the city and that's like the best part.
Yeah. So he talked nearly 30 seconds about the beauty of our exit signs, and it was really ironical. And the people, I guess they really loved it because it was something they didn't expect it when they write something like this. And we have more of it, but we have eyes open for it. But
not published yet.
No, it's not published yet. Do this on our own as well. If we have like a comment that says, oh, Bremen and some sightseeing, ha ha ha. And then we put our colleague in front of the town musicians or in front of the main hall, and then we say, where are the special things over here? And so we try to do a new way to go through this kind of hate comments.
So basically not afraid to make fun of yourselves. Is it the same in Cologne? Can you make fun of Cologne a little bit?
Yeah, I just have to mention that I've seen the TikTok that you talked about yesterday evening, and I found it really funny, and only recognized at the end that it was the mayor who was talking, and I found it really even more funny, and this was really great. Perhaps we can convince Mrs. Reker also to do a TikTok with us.
Yes, yeah. The mayor from Cologne, of course, has to do it as well.
Yeah. And yes, what we do at the moment is following the trend to do videos about what do you think with people in the streets, what do you think about Cologne, what is overrated and underrated. And sometimes you get some answers that you are really surprised with. You have to be brave because you can't control it and you can't control the answers. And you always have answers which don't fit in the overall communication strategy. But this is the beautiful thing about it.
But that's so great that you do have the freedom and you take risks and you're brave like that. I think the users really appreciate that and see that. But we always talk about our successes, but sometimes we learn more from our failures. What's a video idea that didn't work out for you, and what did you learn from it? And since that's like a really hard and unfair question, I'll go first. And say, since my little niche is news and Berlin stuff, whenever I travel somewhere, I go on vacation, I feel like, oh, why can't I make a little video on that? And then I maybe go to Rome and say, oh, three things to do in Rome. And then I upload that TikTok and all the comments I get are like, why are you there? Why are you not in Berlin? When am I getting my news from Berlin? And the views are quite low as well. And so I learned the hard way that I can't leave my niche. I always have to tie it back somehow to Germany, to Berlin, to a newsy aspect. Otherwise, users won't like it.
Yeah, well, I understand. I have an example because, when we started with TikTok, we had a, as we thought, good idea. You know that we have a dialect here in Cologne, the Kölsch dialect. It's a language of its own, and a lot of people like to imitate it when they talk about Cologne or tell their friends about their visit. And a lot of songs are sung about the city in this language, Kölsch, and are really good known in Germany. So we thought it would be a good idea to post some Kölsch dictionary TikToks and explain
to
our...
Sounds fun.
Sounds fun. And we try to explain to our community the meaning of some words and sayings, but it didn't perform. It's, well, the audience decided not to find it good.
So. It was too specific, maybe.
Perhaps, yeah.
Funny, because you made the exact opposite experience.
Okay.
So maybe you should try it again now with a bigger community, because we made like typical Bremish words, like if you drink coffee and a piece of cake, we call it Kaffeesieren. And we thought it would be typical, but the generation on there didn't know that, and it got really, really viral because they were so surprised about the words.
Okay, good to hear that.
We don't have that specific video like the colleague from Cologne, but we made a huge failure in the beginning. So because we decided to put our content from other platforms, we call it high gloss videos from like YouTube, and put it on there, and it will do the rest if you just put it there without any context, just beautiful pictures of from Brim, and the people would love it anyway. But we noticed that this kind of way won't work for us, so there were no views at all, and I guess this is something the real creator should do. And
but that's actually that makes mistake almost every media account makes that mistake, because the stuff that goes viral on Instagram is not the same stuff that goes viral on TikTok, and you just have to learn and figure that out. And Instagram is all about the beautiful, glossy pictures, like you said, but TikTok is about information and discussion, and you have to find that out. And I think sometimes we do see glossy, wow clips going viral, but that's not often, and then it's mostly connected to one specific person, to people want to see their person, their creator going to a great place or something like that. So I think it is hard to go viral with these kinds of videos. So you're not the only one who learned that.
But we learned from our mistakes. So we now make it this kind of personal content with us in front of the camera, and it works way better because they don't even recognize there is a company behind it who do these kind of videos. They think that I am the person who want to tell this. So I guess this is somehow on the... our secret formula.
And we are unfortunately almost out of time. We only have time left for a little TikTok, so to speak. Let's close our talk with a look into the future. What role do you think TikTok will play in the tourism industry in the future? Or is there any other platform you have your eye on right now that we should be talking about in the next podcast, maybe?
As I already mentioned, the expeditives and younger target groups like the Gen Z inspire themselves more and more also for vacations via social media and via TikTok. And I think that after COVID now, people want to travel again. And for example, younger people who graduated during COVID now have the chance to travel for the first time. So I think this is a big potential for destinations to be present with this target groups. And I also think that, yeah, TikTok will grow more and more. We will be there. We will do more efforts to be active on this channel. And yeah, I also think that this generation is getting older, and that we do not only talk about travel decisions, but perhaps we also talk about decisions for choosing a place to live in and to work. So yeah, we have to think big and attract the people and be present in their minds.
And basically you're saying, if you're not on TikTok yet, you have to be. Get on TikTok.
Absolutely.
Now.
Be brave, and try it out.
And do you feel the same, Laura?
Absolutely. I think TikTok will play a big, big role in the future. And it does already. When you have a look on like Instagram or Facebook, videos in like this portrait mode are really, really the big thing right now. And I think it's something that TikTok started maybe a little bit. And I think that TikTok is already or slowly getting bigger than Instagram and more important. So there's also room to grow right now. And I think there's no excuse why someone should not even should try it. There are so many possibilities to put in their creativity in there, the specific topics. There's literally for everything a niche and people who wants to see that. So why not start today?
Thank you, Johanna, for having us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.